Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass out Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and DallasBasketball.com colleague, Matt Galatson. This is kind of an emergency pod. It's a delayed emergency pod. We tried to do it earlier. It just wasn't in the cards because of the connection issues and everything. But we're here now. We have stuff to talk about, Matt, because Donnie Nelson's out. He's gone. There's no more Donnie Nelson with the Dallas Mavericks, you know, 23, 24 years, and it's time for something new now. We had that report that came out from Tim Cato and The Athletic the other day, and talking about how Bob Vulgaris is basically a shadow GM and all this drama that's going on in the Mavs front office, and a lot of people gave him crap over that, and then sure enough, a day or two later, here we have it that the Donnie Nelson and the Mavs are splitting. So it's crazy, man. I'm still kind of shook from it. I mean, we kind of expected something to happen. We knew something needed to happen, but I mean, I don't think we expected Mark Cuban to actually go through with this. So it's kind of crazy to think about, but I mean, what were your thoughts today when that news dropped?
Well, I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago as a reaction to the playoffs, that something like this needed to happen. I mean, like you said, it wasn't exactly something that I expected necessarily, this exact scenario, but hey, look, I mean, they're a complete mess. They needed something to change, and you know, nothing gets that process started quicker than getting a new GM. And I'm a little concerned about the direction that they seem to be taking in the search, just based on what we heard earlier today. But for right now, all we can do is take it as good news that they're heading in a new direction. I mean, look, I respect the hell out of Donnie and everything he did over the last 23 years or whatever, but, you know, sometimes these things, it's just time for these things to come to an end, and that's what happened today.
Yeah, Donnie, he's a friend of the pod. It seems like, I think the last two seasons, he's agreed to come on and talk with us right before the trade deadline and right before the draft and everything. So, super nice guy. He was a friend of the pod. I've never had – the only time I've ever really, like, truly been mad at Donnie was last week after the exit interviews where, you know, he basically said that Luka needed to mature and, you know, get his teammates more involved and everything. So I didn't like that. A lot of fans didn't like that. I don't know if that
happened. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just such a ludicrous thing to even say. It was almost like he kind of knew what was coming, and it was almost like a defense of his roster construction or something. Looking back on it, I don't know. That's just kind of what it felt like. But, I mean, yeah, it's time for a change. It's time for a fresh breath of air. Get somebody new in there. Like you said last week, Matt, get some new blood in there. Get some new ideas and, you know, see where it goes from there. I know, and Christian in the chat here, he said that Marcus Spears piece was on Luka was ridiculous. And I agree with that. I mean, just because they haven't come up with an agreement on an extension yet, well, one, they can't do that until the season's over per CBA CBA rules. So that's one reason why they're not doing it yet. Two, Luka is over in Slovenia right now getting ready for national team ball. So, you know, he's not gonna be focused on that right now anyway. He's trying to do the best he can do for his national team. And, I mean, there's not going to be any talks to it anyway. They're going to offer Luka $200 million max rookie extension, and Luka's going to accept it. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Right. He already said he's going to do it.
Yeah, he already said he's going to do it. He said, what do you think? This guy, I mean, look, I get it. He's made the All-NBA first team 2 years in a row now, but, I mean – he's still coming off of a rookie contract. He's not going to turn down $200 million on his rookie extension. It would be unprecedented. Nobody has done that. So it would be a first if he did, but he's not going to. So, well, I guess my next question for you, Matt, is we touched on it a little bit last week. One of our listeners, I think it was Jesse, who came on here and said that he had heard from Toronto people that they were worried that Mark Cuban was going to go out and just throw a ton of money at Masai Ujiri. And I was thinking at the time, like, well, I mean, that would be ideal if something does happen, but we didn't actually think that they'd go through with it and, you know, have Donnie out the door by this point. Well, now it's happened, and now we're really thinking, like, man, are they going to do this or what? But like you said, they've hired some firm to basically – I don't know how that works, but it made me think that they're just going to go through like a ton of names and everything, and it might be somebody that we don't even know that well. But I would love to have Ujiri. Hold on just a second. Taylor in the chat said, Brad Townsend just tweeted, I'm told reports of Luka Doncic being upset about Donnie Nelson's parting ways with the Mavericks aren't based on conversations anyone's had with Doncic because he hasn't shared such feelings. So that's basically exactly what we thought it was from Spears. I mean, there's nothing coming from Luka himself, and there's no way that, you know, Spears would have that information. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. We were talking about this earlier when he was talking about the extension. There's no background to any of this. I don't know what he's talking about. There's no way he can start the extension talks until, you know, the season's over. He's not going to sign the extension until August 6th, like Fish said on The Fan earlier today.
Yeah, but, I mean, Luka, he wants to win, Matt. I mean, everybody knows this. That's the biggest thing. I mean, yeah, he was upset when the Mavs didn't bring back J.J. Barea, too. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do to put your franchise in the best position possible. So, I mean, I'm sure like the rest of us, he liked Donnie, you know, like me and you, he liked Donnie, and, you know, it's kind of sad in a way because it's been so long and there's a lot of history there, and he's the, you know, he got Luka and Dirk back in the day, but, you know, it's just time for something new, and I think Luka will be fine with it going forward. So, all right, so we've kind of gotten our thoughts out there in the first little bit of this. I thought I had some speaker requests, but they are not showing up. Let me see. Okay, Brian. Brian, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, guys, what a week. What a freaking week. It's funny, Dalton, because I feel like you and I and Kirk have been in several rooms kind of throughout the year, and I think I've been a proprietor of my Donnie Nelson Needs to Go stick, and Kirk would just politely just poke fun at me and said, Brian, come on, come on. That's not happening. He's a Maverick for life, and apparently that's not the case, and I'm still trying to really take it in. It's not a pleasant thing to see someone get fired from a job. It's not. I think I've had enough time to really think about the good that Donnie has done. I mean, you know, we'll always thank him for Dirk. He was able to get for Luka, but yeah, I think you almost have to take everything, all the good things he did, and kind of part it to the side and look at the things that he hasn't done in the past. I mean, I don't even say you have to go even, you know, from 11 to 15, but look at the last 4 to 5 years where he hasn't, the things he hasn't done, because there's been other GMs out there that have been so freaking creative. Look what Daryl Morey did in about 5 minutes as soon as he went to Philadelphia. And I understand, like, finagling of contracts and picks is very tricky, but that kind of showed me, I was just, my head exploded, because that showed me you can do something. It's either you have a vision that's not the right way to go, or we just really need to get a new pair of eyes in there. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's really okay. You know, whether, how much you want to think of, like, Bob in the kitchen with Donnie affected his contribution, it's hard to really say. I don't know, but I still feel like he still has enough blame where I feel like the move for him to move on was justified.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, Matt and I talked about it last week and in the pod before last, but free agency alone, you know, Donnie's done some good stuff, and he's had a couple good trades, and he identified Luka at a, you know, probably before anybody else at a super young age. But by the time it came draft time, I mean, people should have known this guy is amazing. We probably need to go out and draft this guy. The Kings and Suns thought differently, but, you know, it wasn't that hard. I was going back through the other day, and I was looking at all these pre-2018 draft tweets from just a lot of people with Mavs Twitter. And for the most part, we were all on the same page about Luka. It's just like, yeah, go get this guy. Whatever it takes, go get him. It wasn't like it was a hard decision or anything. So, I mean, yeah, you give him credit for getting KP. I mean, not KP, for Luka. And you give him credit for, like, the KP trade, because at the time that was a good trade. There's really nothing that they gave away that's hurting them right now. And it doesn't really, in my opinion, I don't think anything's going to end up hurting him from that trade going forward. But just the free agency failures alone over the last two decades, you know, that alone should have put him on the hot seat probably before even now. If it was any other GM in the league that didn't have, you know, the relationship that Cuban and Donnie had, they would have been on the hot seat well before now. So it's a what have you done for me lately league. And with this being such a pivotal offseason, like we've talked about, you know, Cuban and the rest of the organization, they apparently felt like it was time to make a new move, you know, part ways with Donnie Nelson, get somebody new in there, maybe somebody that, I don't know, maybe free agents like better. I don't know what the thinking is behind it, but hopefully it does help out the Mavs this offseason. But, I mean, Matt, what do you think about what Brian had to say there?
Well, the stuff about, you know, giving credit where credit is due for finding Luka, I know I was, you know, I've been pretty outspoken about the whole thing about, you know, let's not give Donnie credit for finding the European version of LeBron James, the best draft prospect in 15 years. But in some conversations I've had today with Fish, he kind of made a good point. And that is that, you know, Donnie didn't find Luka. Donnie didn't find Giannis. What he did was develop relationships with those guys and put Dallas in position to get them. And maybe through his development, the development of his relationship with Luka, he convinced Luka to, and Luka's people to tell the Suns and tell the Kings, do not draft me. I want to go to Dallas. And that is the backbone of how Dallas got Luka. And if that is indeed the case, we don't have evidence that that's exactly what happened. We don't have, anything pointing to that necessarily, but if that's the case, and based on the people that Fish know, I kind of tend to agree with what he's saying here, then that is credit you should give Donnie, for sure. Now, you also kind of can't give him any more credit than that, though, because in the last 10 years, they've won exactly zero playoff series. In the last 10 years, they've signed exactly zero impact free agents. So there's a give and take there. But as far as the Luka stuff, upon further, review, maybe he does deserve a little bit more credit than we are giving him. But that's just,
Yeah, and I mean, he's always been a great international scout. I mean, one thing that we tend to forget about, and I know it's fresh on everybody's minds when I bring it up, but we don't think about it enough, is like, he was banging the table to draft Giannis in 2013, and then Cuban just overruled him. and just to save, what was it, like $250,000 or something crazy like that?
Passing took Shane Larkin.
Yeah, to get Shane Larkin and then chase Dwight Howard in free agency. Oh, man, that was just such a mess. But, if that happens, then maybe you don't have Luka by this point. But the point is, Donnie, he has a good eye for talent, especially international talent. But when it comes to other guys, just NBA free agents, he apparently doesn't have that kind of – I don't know. There's just not that kind of appeal with him, I guess, with persuading guys to come to Dallas. But then again, you look at Cuban, and, that you have prime Deron Williams in 2013. Prime Deron Williams in 2013 saying that he was prepared – to sign with the Mavs, or maybe it was 2012. But Mark Cuban didn't come to the meeting because of a Shark Tank thing. So he decided to stay in Brooklyn. So, I'm kind of talking myself. I'm glad that the Mavs are going to get some new blood in there, and they're going to get some new ideas, and it's a fresh start and everything. But it's kind of like our buddy Kurt wrote on Mavs Moneyball. And, guys, it's a very well-written piece. I encourage you all to go read it. But he was basically just saying that, man, we have too much Mark Cuban right now. And he lists all the incidents that Cuban has been a part of over the last decade plus. And once you read that list of all the stuff he has done, it's just like, it just like blows your mind. Like, man, I remember all this happening at the time, but I didn't realize just how much it is. So whoever they end up hiring as the next GM and or the next president of basketball ops, I think Cuban needs to just take a back seat more than what he has. Because if he's going to have his hands in the basketball operations part of it, then, I mean, what are you doing? You may have the new GM, the new president, have some great ideas. And then Cuban looking at it and like, no, I don't think so. I'm smarter than that. We're not doing that. Well, what are you accomplishing at that point? So that's the thing. I'm excited about the future, but then I'm also looking at things that happened in the past, and I'm like, man, Cuban was part of that too. but like somebody in the chat just mentioned, Cuban isn't going to fire himself. So
yeah, let's not sit here and pretend that Cuban isn't the biggest problem with the Mavs organization as far as roster building, because he is the final decision maker. We've known that for a while now. He's the one that has the final say on everything. Now, there's the stuff from the Cato report about Will Garris making the calls on like Josh Green and Tyrell Terry and some other roster moves that the Mavs have made over the last couple of years. And that is extremely troubling to me because this is the same guy who said Klay Thompson was an okay basketball player and that he would trade him for Kevin Love a few years ago on the Bill Simmons show. So
yikes.
So, I mean, that's if that's the guy that you're hiring to make the decisions on your roster, you know, that's on Cuban too. Now, Kevin O'Connor came out earlier today on this same app, actually, and said that, you know, he heard that Bob was on his way out too. And we'll see if that's actually the case. But there have been conflicting reports there, so we won't really know. If the Mavericks really want a clean slate, though, what they're going to have to do is hire the new GM, let Bob walk, and Cuban has to take a step back. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen here. This is just the first of many steps in the direction that they need to take.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, Nick was kind enough to drop that link to that Mavs Moneyball piece I was telling y'all about that our buddy Kirk wrote on Cuban. Y'all definitely need to go check that out. It's very well written, and, I mean, it's harsh, but it's fair. He was very fair when writing that. So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know where they go from here. Like I said, if it was my choice, I would go after Masai Ujiri. I would throw him a bag. He's the president and the GM in Toronto, and, you know, his family's there, and, you know, people have tried to lure him away before, and it just hasn't happened. But, hey, maybe having a two-time All-NBA first-team guy that's 22 years old, has this whole entire career ahead of him, maybe he looks at that and says, man, yeah, it wouldn't be that hard for me to build a contender around him. And maybe he could accept it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know his thought process on that, but it sure would make me excited if, you know, that's in the news the next couple of days.
Could I throw something out to you guys real quick, if you don't mind, Dalton?
Yeah, so, go ahead.
With Masai, right? So he was able to basically win. I know, like, circumstances aside, he was able to actually build a championship team, essentially. And he had a solid team. Then they acquired Kawhi, right? So you already have the superstar. I bet if he came here, he would look at this roster and just like, oh, I got this. Like, let's get this guy here. Like, we got a couple pieces. That's good. So he doesn't even really have to do the hard work. We already have the superstar. He has to just kind of just plug holes in smaller places and find the right parts. I feel like if he looked at it and if everybody really looked at and approached it like that, it'd be like, wow, he could really come in and clean house really quick, and maybe we're winning a couple playoff series next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I mean, you're right. The hardest part of team building is finding that superstar. And once you can do that, you know, everything else is a little bit easier. I think the other biggest issue they have is that they kind of got screwed in the KP trade. On paper, when it happened, it was a no-brainer, right? They get one of the best on-paper talents in the NBA in Porzingis. They get off those bad contracts. They give up draft picks that, you know, I heard Jonathan Sharks talking about this earlier on Bill Simmons' podcast. I mean, he made a good point. Those draft picks for almost any other team are valuable, but for the Mavericks, they don't develop young talent. They don't draft well for the most part. So those picks aren't as valuable to the Mavs as they are to other franchises. So in that sense, like they still have the KP contract to wrestle with. They still have other things that they have to figure out before they can really build this roster where they want it to be. And I think that's their biggest obstacle.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, I was just going to tell everybody, I just put it in the chat too, but for some reason the speaker requests aren't showing up. Like it shows that there is a request, and then when I hit on the button, it doesn't show anybody. So if you did want to talk, just put it there in the chat, and I'll bring you up that way. So next up, we have return guest Christian. What's up, man? How are you feeling after today?
Oh, man, I got – it's like so many emotions, right? Because this is what needed to happen. But I'm also, you know, so I'm happy in that sense, but I'm also a bit anxious because this is such a pivotal hire just because of the Luka situation that, you know, really we have to get this right, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can't stress it enough. It's like we've been just pounding the table the last couple of weeks and really throughout the season. But this is the way they botched 2019 free agency. And I know everybody tries to say, oh, well, their options were limited. No, they weren't. Not in 2019. I mean, yeah, last offseason they had limited options, but in 2019, they had so many different ways they could have gone. They had a bunch of money to blow, and they decided not. You know, they could have traded for Goran Dragic. Sorry, Matt.
every podcast now, you have to bring that shit up.
Yeah, that Mark Stein tweet resurfaced on my timeline yesterday, and it made Matt sad. But you know, they could have traded for him 2 years ago, and it would have been a great trade for them, and they decided not to do it to save the cap space for that 2019 free agency period. And then they ended up with Seth Curry, DeLon Wright, and Boban, and now Boban is the only one on the team from those three guys they got that summer. And you know, they traded Seth Curry, one of the best offensive players in NBA history, efficiency wise, for Josh Richardson, who was just an absolute disaster. And he's probably he's probably guaranteed to opt in, and he's on a $10 million expiring. So I don't think I don't think it'd be super hard to trade if that happens. But I mean, man, what a disaster that 2019 offseason was. So they have to do something this time around. And I think I think Dallas media in general did a good job of like putting the pressure on this front office the last few weeks, because typically Cuban just kind of brushes things off, and you know, we didn't really expect anything to change, but everybody was pretty much on the same page these last few weeks. It's like, look, there's no excuses this time around. Luka, he's going to go into his last year on a rookie deal. If you're going to make a big move, you need to do it now, because going here forward, yeah, you can make some changes, but you know, your opportunity is greater before that max extension kicks in with Luka. So they need to do something now.
Dalton, I was just going to say, so I agree with everything you said, and my biggest thing is, you know, when you go big fish chasing, right, you get good players because you can trade them if you need a clear cap. Like if Bojan Bogdanovic and the Jazz wanted to get rid of him, we would, of course, be trying to get in that, especially if they're just trying to rid cap for a bigger fish. So I don't understand why people, it's like, oh, we need to save this cap because you can always trade good players. But the other thing I just want to mention quickly was my measuring stick of this GM search will be how hard we go after Masai. Because if there's a lot of reports linking us to him and it's saying that Cuban really wants to get him, that means Cuban is willing to give up control, because Masai's not going to come here with Cuban having that much influence. And I saw people bringing up Michael Finley, who I love, but I'm just so afraid that it would be the same situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. I think if Masai Ujiri is going to come to Dallas, like you said, Cuban's going to have to let go of the reins more. And I agree. I mean, look, I think Michael Finley would do a great job in that role. But like you said, he's been with the franchise so long, and he's buddy-buddy with Cuban. And, you know,
that would be the worst possible scenario.
If I don't think it would be if they were left to do their job. But I just think, like, there's too much of a connection there with Cuban to where there would be too much meddling. It would be that, like Christian said, it'd be kind of the same thing than like when you had Donnie calling the shots. So, okay. Next up, we've got Nick. Nick, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're making it. We didn't expect to be doing this pod today. We were saving our upgrading the Mavericks thing for tomorrow, but hey, GM got fired.
Yep. Well, I was just wanting to kind of look at it from that direction of there being too many hands in the pot as it is. And part of me wonders if we chased the wrong guy out of the building. I'm just worried that there's something in this Dallas air that makes these owners need to be the smartest person in the room. And I just fear that we're chasing off Donnie, who, you know, when the real problem is really Mark Cuban and potentially this Bob Valgaris guy.
Well, I think that I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, because I also think that Cuban's the biggest problem. The issue that you run into with that is that you can't chase the owner out of the room, because he's already the most powerful person in the organization. And Cuban, especially being he's the real GM. We know this, but he's the decision maker. Everything goes through him. So it's kind of hard to just chase him out of the room. And, you know, I agree that he needs to take a step back in all this, but, you know, Donnie's not absolved of any problems here. I mean, he's been as big of an issue as anybody else.
And can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just add this real quick too. I don't know anything. I mean, me and Bob Valgaris, we've talked a little bit through Twitter DMs over the last couple of years, and I mean, he seems like a good dude and everything. But can I just put this out there? Like, if the reports of Luca having any issues with him are true, and, you know, he's been part of this roster building process, at least, you know, signing off on or giving his best wishes on moves being made and everything, he's been just as much of a part of it as Donnie. And if Luca has any issues with him whatsoever, he should be gone too. And we had Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. He said on a, I guess it's not Locker Room anymore, Spotify Green Room earlier today, that he was hearing that Valgaris was out as well, but there's been conflicting reports there. There hasn't been anything confirmed. But his contract was also up this year. So it may be one of those things where he just kind of – where the Mavs just don't hire him, and then there's no news of him being fired, of, you know, them parting ways or anything like that. So that's what I think. If there's any kind of animosity between him and Luka, you let Valgaris go immediately. You know, you can find somebody else to come in and you know, do your analytics stuff and everything. Because honestly, I don't know how much Rick listens to that anyway.
Well, based on the Cato story, Rick was being handed lineup cards.
Yeah, but I'm sure unreal. They're going from. Yeah, but I'm sure they're going from Rick's hand into a trash can most of the time.
I don't know.
the way Rick is. But
what we do know based off Cato's piece is that, one, he was the one that was behind the signing of DeLon Wright, talking about Bob Wilgeras, and putting him in a starting spot next to Luka, which happened for exactly one game before he was immediately sent to the bench and subsequently traded the next offseason because he was garbage. And then the other ones that we know about are he was responsible for drafting Josh Green, which I don't hate Josh Green by any means. I think he's going to be fine. But he was the one making that decision. He was the one that made the Tyrell Terry decision, who, you know, he didn't play a single game this season. And there's other ones as well. I mean, he's responsible for what this roster is just as much as Donnie is. So we can't let him off the hook. If he is taking power away from the coach and telling the coach who to put on the floor, telling the coach what the substitution patterns are, and he's sitting there with his laptop telling Luka to calm down in the middle of the game or leaving the court with 2 minutes left when the Mavs are in the middle of a comeback, like all these things that, you know, Cato says in his piece, then he needs to be out of here yesterday. Not tomorrow, yesterday.
I couldn't agree more. My fear too is if Luka doesn't like him, he needs to be out. This 2019 offseason that we have all talked about being just absolutely horrible, it seems like he may have had a big influence on that as well.
Yeah. I mean, even before they officially hired Vulgaris, he was still an advisor, you know, from what I've read. So even before he was officially an employee for the Mavs in the quantitative analytics, whatever his title was, he was still supposedly in Cuban's ear about stuff. And, you know, Cuban was taking advice from him and everything. So I don't know. Another thing I wanted to pitch in here about the Masai Ujiri idea, because I saw somebody in the chat mention it earlier. But if you get a guy like him, then you look at the free agency pool this summer. It gets your foot in the door with guys like Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan. You know, we know that he has a great relationship with those players. It potentially gets your foot in the door with a guy like Kawhi, who, you know, unfortunately, we got that news today that they fear that he has some kind of ACL injury. He's out indefinitely. But, you know, even if he does have an ACL injury, if you have a chance to sign Kawhi Leonard in the offseason, you do it. You know, it's kind of like KD with the Nets. They took a chance on him with him missing a year, and look what happened. So you potentially get your foot in the door there. I'm not saying it happens. I'm just saying, like, your chances of it happen increase if you end up with Masai as your GM. So I don't know. Maybe this is like my pipe dream. I put out these pipe dream trade articles every year, and I've even got some cooking up for our next pod. And I'm gonna write a couple.
And that's why we love you, Dalton.
Yeah, I know. That's part of my thing here. But I feel like the Masai Ujiri thing is like my pipe dream for front office stuff. But who knows? I mean, I think it all depends. Mark Cuban can throw all the money he wants to at Ujiri, but like we've said, if he isn't willing to, you know, let go of the power a little bit and let Ujiri completely call the shots and form the roster the way he wants to, and, you know, take some chances that maybe Cuban might not want to take with it, you know, stuff like that, that's the only way that it would happen. And I don't know if Cuban's willing to do that. But I will say, Matt, I didn't think Cuban would part ways with Donnie Nelson either, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that, you know, one of the things that I think is just hilarious about this whole situation is that literally 2 days ago, Cato comes out with this report, and Cuban quote tweets him, which for Cato, no matter what Cuban says, is just a gold mine, because he's, like Kirk told us the other day, I mean, he made a good point. Cuban is retweeting a story about him that's criticizing him to 4.8 million people or whatever Cuban's sort of following is. So that
over 8 million.
It's 8.4. I was dyslexic with the numbers. Anyway, but what's funny about this whole situation is that Cato comes out with that story on Monday. Cuban quote tweets him and says, "This is total bullshit." And then 2 days later, Donnie's gone. Haralabar might be gone. Like, everybody involved in the story is gone. So, is it total bullshit? Obviously not. Obviously not.
It's, yeah, it's very funny that we got that kind of response from the Cato article, and then literally less than 48 hours, I think it's less than 48 hours, this happens, and it just rocks everybody on Mav Twitter. And I haven't got to listen to any actual radio stuff, but I'm sure they've been having a day too. But I mean, it's just crazy. So yeah, I mean, look, that Nick, we appreciate you coming on and talking with us for a little bit. That's really going to do it for this episode, guys. We're going to come back on before the end of the week, and we're going to do our second installment of the Upgrading the Mavericks series. This week, we're going to be talking about big man upgrades. Let's see, who Rashawn Holmes, a trade, potential trade for Miles Turner. We have some good info there that I think y'all really want to, you know, tune in and check out. So it's going to be a fun rest of the week, and it's going to be a fun rest of the off season, especially now that we know that Donnie Nelson's out and there's going to be a new GM and a new president and all that stuff. So lots of fun. Matt, you have anything else to add before we take off?
No, I think we're all good. I'm just excited about the new direction of the franchise, hopefully. And what this could be setting in motion. We just have to see if the next steps are going to be taken. And that's, you know, it's just going to have to wait and see from there.
Yep. Yep. Free agency is in about 6 weeks, I believe. So it's going to go by fast. Once the draft comes around, which is at the end of July, that's when you start seeing teams start trading and all that kind of good stuff. So, should be fun. We'll see what happens. You guys be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you haven't already, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, go leave us a review and put either your Twitter or your Instagram ad on there, and it automatically enters you for a chance to win one of our Comfort Color t-shirts. So, and we've given out a ton of those over the last 2 weeks. So be sure to do that. It takes about 10 seconds. And you'll be entered for a t-shirt. So, all right, guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your week. We will see you within the next 48 hours for another pod.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.